You.
Awesome. Thanks so much for being here with us today.
It was my pleasure. Thanks for the invitation, and I look forward to listening to you all in the future.
Thank you. Well, we have just a few more moments, and that means we have time for exactly one announcement. But first, the announcement music. The announcement music is the Argentinian band Olger Iger, in case you wondered. So, we just wanted to also let you know about the activities that are going on in the Boston area regarding the DREAM Act, which Professor Likes mentioned earlier. MIRA, the Massachusetts Immigrant and Refugee Advocacy Coalition, is running a series of community meetings, coordinating people from communities across the country who are ready to work together towards getting those 279 votes necessary to win actually comprehensive immigration reform legislation. We need 218 votes in the House of Representatives, as well as 60 votes in the Senate, and of course, one signature from President Obama. And so MIRA is doing a sort of New England-based tour. You can go to the Boston meeting if you would be so inclined. It's happening August 13th at Agencia Alfa at 6 p.m. That's located at 68 Northampton Street in Boston. I believe that Northampton is down in the edge of the South End heading to Roxbury. So if you were going to take the T, you would probably want to go to Mass Ave on the Orange Line and then walk. Should be interesting beginning of what will most likely be a heated campaign. If you want more information about that, you should talk to MIRA, and you can contact them through their website, miracoalition.org. Y si tienen cualquier pregunta acerca de nuestra programación hoy, siempre se nos puede llamar al número 617-253-8810 o mejor ahora porque se nos está acabando el tiempo, que nos mande un email a la dirección esperio, sphero, @wmbr.org. And that is about all we have time for. Mil gracias a la profesora Likes. Thank you so much. And we will catch you all, well, next Friday, 6 to 7, same bat time, same bat channel.
Same awesome time and same awesome channel.
Yes, that's really what I meant. It's 7 o'clock. You're listening to WMBR Cambridge, 88.1 FM. Music for Human Beings is up next. Stick around.
مرحبا في Music for Human. I am الدكتور جالس السكران and I welcome you. So here we are again. Has it really been only a week? It's difficult to say. Certainly the station chronometers seem to indicate it has been an entire week, but how time does fly when people are traveling.
And yet it crawls when one is stuck within the womb of a vessel traveling slowly.
Is that Aurora?
Yes, it is.
Welcome, Aurora.
Thank you. It's great to be back.
Yeah, Aurora has been gone for some time and is joining us even now through the glass.
So to speak, yes.
And Aurora, of course, is a vocal specialist.
A vocal therapist.
And your voice itself sounds a little bit scritchy there today.
Yes, my aura hasn't settled into the Boston region yet. I recently came in from Australia.
Yeah, from the Australian metropolitan area.
No, more in the desert region. The large expanses of sand and kangaroos were a perfect place for me to experiment in a new region of enlightenment.
Well, it's certainly good to have you back, Aurora.
It's great to be back.
We're also pleased to have with us again George, the Mayan shaman. George, welcome.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
George, of course, was also recently in Mexico.
The time has just flown by for me as well as you, especially being on such a spiritual journey to come back here.
It is such a wild ride. And I was back in the studio on Monday to listen to one of the jazz shows, and I really did sense your presence had somehow remained.
Yes, I've been traveling by the skyways, the sky sock bays, as they were, and I find that even as I leave a part of me here just to make sure that everything is speeded along.
And that's really rough, right? Because after a while, you get so spread out.
It's very trying on the body, and I feel like the New Agers notice this because they've been flocking to us, especially as you said last week, mm-hmm. with the rearranging of the fat cells. They've
Precisely.
Been coming to us for that as well, and the skyways, it's really no different.
And that really can put a drain on one.
It can.
So we also have with us once again Dr. We've of course been long friends, but she has only recently come on the show. It's Dr. Steffi van Kuchen.
Hello.
Welcome, Steffi.
It's good to be here.
Now, Steffi is an expert on Marxian neologism.
That is where my qualification is in, yes.
And it's so pleasing to see a traditional scientist who appreciates the New Age arts in their work.
I think that research must be prepared to take on any matter of inquiry at any time, especially in the present.
Yeah, it's very philosophic, so we're very glad to have you, Dr. van Kuchen.
Thank you.
And of course, finally, last but not least, we have the ever-dangerous Lilith the Sorceress and her train of four mute warriors. Lilith, welcome.
Thank you. It is fantastic to be back.
And Lilith, I noticed that you also left one of your warriors in the studio for the entire week.
I did. I felt as though the studio needed something. I'm still not quite certain exactly what it was. Perhaps George offered a bit of the transcendence, the spirit, something, and left something in office, and I felt as though I should physically leave something in here, as opposed to emotionally or mentally.
There's some balance.
Yeah, there, something is off, a bit off in the studio. Perhaps it's all of the waves, the radio waves, and something running through here, but something's a bit off.
There are a lot of waves in the studio.
I find that although loads of waves can be an overwhelming experience, it can also be quite heady, and it can contribute to the mind plane.
To the mind plane, and that's a very interesting point for us to launch off. This concept that there is a mind plane and a subconscious sort of glorious water plane. And it's nice to let that frontal cortex plane, which is really more of a tetrahedron, to sink slowly into the water that represents the subconscious, but of course is not actually the subconscious, and then to emerge confused and with some mild head pain, and all of this represents the interplay between the limbic system and the cortex, which is the reason behind many of the rituals that we see in New Age culture, such as the Mayan shamanic tribe.
Well, certainly leaving one's mind open to all the senses that we obviously take in but don't necessarily interpret in our conscious mind, that can only aid us in understanding and being one with the world.
I would have to absolutely agree with you, Aurora. You're definitely on the right level here with what you're saying. You're definitely very in tune with all of the senses, not just the ones that we're aware of. Or that we're so-called aware of.
I believe it's specifically the state of late capitalism that has caused us to be so dissociated from our senses, all of these senses, perhaps even senses of which we are not aware. We've become so alienated from our own touch, taste, smell, from our own bodies through these processes of industrialized labor. We've been isolated into ourselves, and we don't even know what these selves are. That this is what I think these kinds of conversations can lead to critiquing.
I think it's interesting that you use the word isolated. I wonder if that's something of a pun, because it almost is as if we're frozen within our own bodies, immobile to feel our own senses or experience anything beyond being very cold-hearted or stiff due to the capitalistic nature of society.
Mm.
Yeah, I think the point on capitalism itself is really relevant, because we're all talking about knowledge, and where does knowledge reside? Is it there in the rational part of the mind, or is it underneath in some sort of emotional point? And I really think that often we, you know, as a culture, go on diets. And we change the channel, but you know, forcing the flesh to obey the mind. But perhaps it is worthwhile to spend an hour allowing the flesh to instruct the mind.
This is why we get so many New Agers in the shamanic business, because they are trying. People try to force the flesh to obey the mind, but it just does not, because it cannot be harnessed in this way that we are being taught to by all of the dieting science, quote unquote, as it were.
Mm. Yeah, the mind always wants to do, but the flesh knows that sometimes you just need to wait and let things happen. So,
not to get off topic, but I have drawn tarot cards to what we were speaking about previously, which is the subconscious meditation and being on the mind plane with lots of radio waves around you. Would you like to hear my reading?
Well, before we do that, Aurora, let's see if we can get some callers in. The show, as always, is not about us here, you know, ruminating and so on. It's really about connecting. And so if you'd like to connect with us, the number is 617-253-8810. Caller 1, welcome to the air.
Well, thank you. This is Clark Kent calling, and I heard you all talking about capitalism, and I've just been laid off from the Daily Planet newspaper, and I find myself having more time than I know what to do with, and I'm really, I tried sports and triathlons and things like this, and they were absolutely no challenge to me whatsoever. I tended to exceed at all these things. I got a bicycle, and I could just, you know, just go as fast as I wanted on that. But I've been having a particular challenge with my New Age studies, and I just, you know, this trying to get the energy in the right place in my chakras and, you know, kind of attuned to the right kind of thinking, it's been a challenge to me, and I'm thinking, well, maybe I could learn to blog or to Twitter or something, but about this internal experience. But I just am so grateful for the show, because you've really created a new challenge for me, and trying to find myself.
Clark, this all sounds wonderful. You are definitely a very gifted person. I'm not sure about this blogging and Twittering. I've heard this around, but certainly it seems that, you know, trying some, you know, basic calming experiences, perhaps a number of cones, or a nice telekinesis exercise would help baffle you.
Have you considered a pilgrimage? Because, as we said earlier, sometimes you really cannot force the flesh to obey the mind, or even reverse. If you're trying to tell your mind to tell the flesh to do one thing or another, such as do these triathlons, even though they do not challenge you in some way or another, what many of the New Agers will do is they will come on these pilgrimages and walk along the white ways of the ancient Maya and clear their minds. And they will come to our pyramids, especially on days such as solstices, and watch the magic of the shadows of the serpents built into the sides of the pyramids and absorb the power.
Mr. Kent, any Marxist, any Hegelian will tell you that history only moves forward. You are working in an industry that, I'm sorry to tell you, is dead. Print journalism is a technology that has been displaced by more present technologies, and that is the dialectic of history. I think that when you mentioned Twitter, that I would recommend to you, if you would like to truly experience the extreme solipsism and isolation of the current moment, set up a webcam in your bedroom and engage with your chakras with those who may watch you.
Ah, I see. Well, do you think that I should get an iPhone or a Google Android? These seem to be new things that some of my younger friends are doing, and I'm perplexed which one would lead to the most spiritual expediency.
Well, caller, I think you're asking the wrong question. Spiritual awareness needs to come from within, and maybe one needs to begin with certain rituals that are more familiar to yourself, such as perhaps drawing a warm bath and turning off the phone entirely. In this society, usually things such as these iPhones are just stress adders, and I always see this in my vocal therapy. Those who have more cell phones and more technology tend to come in with more stressful voices.
I couldn't agree more.
Well, I have very keen hearing. It's hard to really experience quiet. But do you have any ideas how to do that in an urban setting?
Yes, definitely. There's I usually go to nuclear power plants and steal the earbuds from them, as they have very excellent devices to reduce the sound from environment and from mechanical
unnaturalness.
Well, Aurora and Clark, let's bring another voice in to share this this journey with us, if we may.
Absolutely.
Caller two, welcome.
Welcome, thank you. Clark Kent, Daily Planet. I don't know if you guys read the comic books, but Clark Kent is the alter ego for Superman.
Well, see, that's symbolic, isn't it? And it's beautiful somehow how art imitates reality in this way.
Yeah, with the idea of Nietzsche.
Caller, I'm sorry. Can you please step away from your radio?
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Yes, with the idea of Nietzsche and his
the Ubermensch,
Superman.
Mm-mm.
Well, I believe the better translation of that word Ubermensch would be Overman. I believe that that's a poor, or earlier, the Strachey translation calls it Superman, but it really should be an Overman. It's not said a Superman would be better or superior. This has been bastardized in a kind of national socialist sense or racialist sense. Mm-hmm. That's not what Nietzsche was writing about. He simply meant looking into one's soul and pulling out the best of one's nature. Let me illustrate with an example. Nietzsche wrote that if a man is sick, if he has, he had very disgusting bowels, he had constant bowel problems. We would probably call it irritable bowel syndrome, but that word did not exist in the 19th century. And he thought this made him not a weak man, but a very strong man, because only a strong man would be able to tolerate and survive such bowel excretions on a constant basis. So this is what we mean by the overman, is someone who is able to withstand and survive.
Well, my therapist has been telling me that I should let people have their own consequences and not go out and try to help and save everybody. And just try to save myself, try to become one with my own true nature.
You need to realize that there are two parts to you. At least, there is yourself and those around you, and there is a oneness to the entire society. So when some people are in trouble, you yourself, a part of you, is in trouble as well. And you need to find some balance that allows you to live your life, but at the same time save that part of yourself that is dying.
It's really hard to understand where I end and other people begin sometime. I've been so involved in community service, and I miss my writing as an outlet.
Let's bring in a third voice here and mix it up a little here. A caller three, welcome to the air.
Can you pull that aside?
Oh, I'm sorry. It seems you have the wrong number.
Can you pull right outside? You come.
Well, there's some confusion there. I'm confused.
Was he ordering a pizza?
It's always possible. You know?
I think that the comment we can this comment on selling something. You know, the word abalionare in Latin, it means to rid oneself of a thing, to sell something. It's from this word that the Germans get the word veralienieren. This word that means to alienate in the sense of to get rid of and sell. This is where alienation comes from. It's from the very act of the point of sale. So perhaps that's what this caller was saying in his own way.
To be by oneself. Ah.
But Lilith, you must have good insight into this, given that you have such a telepathic connection with so many of your kind, and you have such exchanges.
Within
the wizarding community. And being able to shut it off and on and whatnot, and finding yourself among this community of telepathic individuals and separating where you begin and others begin.
Well, yes, it's always very difficult. Nothing is, as we were talking about capitalism last week, nothing is ever for sale, ever. Emotions.
Is it more like breast milk? That you have it just welling up inside you and that it has to come out?
Well, that would mean that I would have to birth some kind of emotion, and we don't generally birth emotions. I've read certain studies where men are able to lactate much the way that women do after they've...
Yeah, even now I have a lot of experience with this. It's even
with
possible
lactation.
Oh, a variety of lactations. It's possible even for women that have never born children to lactate, mm-hmm. Given the proper stimuli.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely. I read a book on it actually recently.
A book on lactation.
Male lactation, actually.
Can this also be a cause of cancer, or a sign of cancer, rather?
Yeah, now, I'm not sure about cancer specifically, but men certainly can get breast cancer. Mm-hmm. And it is alarming seeing those hairy chests in those mammogram machines.
My mortician had breast cancer. He's a larger man. He had, men boobs, so to speak, and he had breast cancer in both his breasts.
Yeah, and it's really, the young people today who are out of touch with their emotions, they find it very amusing, but it's no laughing matter.
Well, male lactation is a huge problem, and you find almost no one ever talks about it.
Yeah,
there's certainly a taboo around the subject, and I think it's fascinating that something that could create life is then pathologized in such a way and treated as some kind of cancer in the body.
But you should understand this because it's soy and it's been mass produced in this capitalistic way and fed to the masses such that it creates this sort of disease, and it's a social disease.
Indeed.
As well as a physical one.
Now, caller two, I'm sorry, but it seems our engineer is indicating that is your radio on?
Yeah, should I turn it down?
Oh, that would be very helpful, because
okay.
We're experiencing a little feedback.
I have trouble hearing you without it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Go on, you have such a distinguished panel here tonight.
And truly it is an honor to be with them. But once again, Clark, or is it Carl? It might be an interesting exercise to see if you can induce lactation yourself, and what strengths you might acquire by, for example, drinking this milk yourself, mm. or perhaps making a cheese or yogurt out of this and then selling it in a market.
Well, it'd be getting in touch with a part of me that I really haven't experienced. So this would be a new challenge of how to make myself lactate and to what end, to what purpose.
Well, again, it's only in yet another effort to become more fully in touch with your existence as a person.
Perhaps literally.
Yeah. Yes, yes.
And very
yet,
literally.
Yet I would be cautious as in the subject of milk entirely, as it does have a negative effect upon your ability to vocally express yourself.
But perhaps it would be more appropriate for him to drink his own urine, which is often the last thing that someone experiences.
Well, I think in Mr. Kent's experience particularly, I think it would be interesting. Mr. Kent, are you
yes.
yourself a portly man?
What sense do you mean portly?
Do you have breasts that are large enough, for instance, where lactation seems possible?
Well, I've got. I'm not portly in the sense I'm not round in the belly, but I have very large pectoral section. I'm just kind of born that way, and it just developed naturally.
So there is no hanging.
There's no hanging, and not at this point.
So I would actually, in this case, devote some time towards the effort of lactation, because I think it would be a challenge for you. That is more realizable than telekinesis, but less realizable than simply drinking your own pee.
So it would be a physical challenge, which would really be a type of challenge that I've never really had any ease or mastery in.
No,
certainly it would be.
I'd like to, in the possibility, I could make cheese for gifts.
I can see that being a spiritual endeavor as well.
You'll You mere mortals will have to remind me. Who wrote Guns, Germs, and Steel?
Jared Diamond.
Jared, he wrote a book called The Evolution of Sexuality, and he has an entire chapter on male lactation. It was one of his first works. It was actually published. That's what I was referring to earlier. It is actually quite possible.
But you must remember that it is a spiritual experience, that you must keep with the meditation and feeling yourself on the spiritual plane as well as on the physical.
Mm-hmm.
And we must emphasize that it is quality, not quantity. Even if you can only produce a single drop of potable milk, then you should still drink it with the same relish that you would if it was gushing.
Well, you know, my ego is saying, if I can do this, why not start a whole new urban dairy industry?
Well, I mean, considering the alacrity with which you have succeeded in things like bicycling, I see no reason why you shouldn't be able to yourself produce enough milk for, you know, one or two small children or
stray
even,
cats, perhaps,
or certainly some lactose intolerant.
I would definitely
adults.
Shy away from any capitalistic motivation.
No, that's a very good point. So, if your desire is to produce milk for a material purpose, then almost certainly the milk will be of poor quality and perhaps
tainted.
An unusual color.
Well, it's hard to kind of let go because the reporter job paid all the bills, you know, and that was something I didn't have to think about.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
Now any activities, that's kind of in the back of my head, you know, what could I pay a bill with this?
I suggest that if your fear is monetary, then you should go out with very few possessions into a very natural area without any urban influences, and try to live by yourself with your own two hands.
In a fortress of solitude, so to speak.
I've done this myself, and it's an overwhelmingly calming experience, because you can live with your own two hands, just building for yourself, and then monetary problems just disappear.
Now, Aurora, I think an even more interesting challenge for Mr. Kent would be perhaps once he has mastered lactation at will, to live without one or both of his hands or more. Because that seems even more challenging to me.
It's not the challenge, Dr. Jollis, that's important. It's the discovery.
Well, certainly, but Charles here is having some difficulty in letting go. You know, there is a problem that he mentions, if I may speak for you, Carl, which is that you feel the need to be doing constantly beyond the wants of your very efficient body, which is capable of cycling very, very well, and may in fact be capable of producing several gallons of milk per week, that beyond the wants of this body, you feel the need to do and to behave and to satisfy these bills that you describe, these figurative bills. And I think it is a quieting of this desire that Carl is seeking.
And Aurora, through the challenge comes discovery, don't you think?
Yes, through the challenge comes discovery, but at the same time, I worry for Charles, as he seems to be...
Clark,
my apologies.
No problem, I have dyslexia too.
I think what is paramount here is that one is self-affirmed in their labor, and that whatever that labor may be, whether it's journalistic, lactation, whatever your field, that it's not simply for something else or someone else, that there's...
Yes.
A self-affirmation in that work as fulfilling your anthropologish desires and needs.
But still, I think I could be a good wet nurse. I think I could care for innocent children, and I could nourish them from my own breasts.
Clark, I must ask, you just noted that you are dyslexic. I must ask, you're a journalist as well. How did you overcome that? That must have been some kind of feat within itself that didn't include physical...
That was actually pretty simple. They just rearranged the keys on the typewriter for me to my own particular pattern of dyslexia. I wouldn't use the same type of typewriter that you would, but the words that I get backwards were just they just moved them around a sort of form followed function.
I like this idea. I think that this is exactly how to undo the displacement that we all suffer when put into a box of the industrial workplace.
To rearrange the keys.
It was very easy.
This is what
for
we
me.
Could call reverse discourse. Taking the keys, rearranging them. We can't ever work outside of these keys that are available to us. We can't imagine new keys that are not there. If I pretend that there's a keyboard in front of me, then there isn't. It's just simply not there. However, we can take the keys, rearrange them, and have that be a recourse against whatever capitalism has imposed upon our own bodies that may be incongruous with our own feelings and needs.
Yeah, Dr. Van Hoogen, I think, has a great analogy here. I mean, the metaphor for regarding one's, for example, efforts to lactate as trying to produce an essay might be regarded the same way. Maybe it's time to move those buttons around and push them in a different order.
And it sounds like we can go from supply and demand to demand and supply.
Absolutely. This reversal is very critical. The flesh instructs the mind.
We must get beyond a simple reversal, though, and actually critique the entirety of the system. Ideally, when we have supply and demand, these would come into a clash, a dialectical conflagration, if you will, and mm-hmm. that there would be a kind of alternative that was reached as a result.
So demand and supply and perhaps, I'm not sure, hanging out or singing.
This is a very interesting topic and one that is very analogous to a therapy procedure that I use for people who curse too often. First, I replace their curse words with other more friendly terms, and then I try to delve deeper and understand why the person is cursing and try to reverse that problem.
And I mean, how much success, Aurora, do you experience with this?
In most patients' case, it's very easy to replace the curse words. It's almost trivial, but finding the motivations, delving into the deep memories, which the person may not even remember, that is the difficulty, and my recent workings with tarot has helped me a lot with that, actually. And I've been having more and more success cases recently.
Speaking of tarot, perhaps a reading would be in order for Carl?
Oh, definitely.
Clark.
excuse me.
A dyslexia, there it is.
I'm sorry, it's still, you know, in spite of living here for 8 or 9 years, I still regard, I'm sorry, Clark, as it's still an unusual name to me.
Well, we always used to say at the planet that dyslexics are teeble poo.
Now, what I'm drawing is the far past, the recent past, the present, the future, and the far future, so it may take a little while.
So the art of tarot, and of course, it would be aided if, Clark, you could just focus on an image of yourself cutting a deck. Now, since you are so able, I think ideally it would be with the foot, because we'd like to have the subconscious be able to influence the choice of the cards.
Okay. I'm seeing myself cutting a tarot card deck.
With your
foot. With my
feet. With a single foot, ideally.
With one foot. Okay, let me try that again.
I
can't quite.
Your non-dominant foot.
Okay. All right. I'm trying to... Ooh, that's kind of hard for me.
That's what we like.
Just relax and let it flow through your body. The image. tell us when you're ready.
Connor?
He's having difficulty, Dr. Jollis. I sense it.
I've actually never experienced a tarot card reading before. This is my first one. I was surprised to see that the deck has the terms written in several different languages, including German, because I've never seen one of these in Germany.
And Elvish?
And Mayan?
Well, this is a very important deck to me. It is made of burlap and peat, and I mentioned before it has a very significant relationship to me in my lifetime.
What is significant about it, Aurora?
It is tied very deeply with emotional times in my life, particularly with the death of my mother and the moving of my practice.
Now, the story of the acquisition of the deck covers many pages in your most recent book, How I Found My Tarot Deck, and in large part chronicles how each card was a unique discovery. Where you would be wandering in a South American village or a city or a town or just a group of people living together and how you would, you know, for weeks be searching for a particular card and then you would find the card, but that's all. You would learn nothing else from the experience. And eventually in that way, Aurora acquired a group of many cards and many of them in varying quality, levels of condition, but each one with its own unique story.
Yes, that's also why they're very multilingual, because I had to go through areas of Central America, up through Canada, Europe, Australia, South Africa, through all regions of the earth in order to discover my entire deck.
And many multilingual regions, where people are accustomed to speaking multiple languages.
Yes, exactly. Like in Switzerland, the card from Switzerland is actually written in four different languages.
And so
is... I didn't notice Klingon in there. Is that...
Yes, unfortunately, my travels were not in the more... were not included in areas where Klingon is normally spoken.
It's most unfortunate.
It is, and perhaps that indicates that my travels are not over.
Perhaps you should start using the skyways and the sockbays that move through the celestial patterns to move into such kinds of travels, to meet with the Klingons.
Yes,
would this be palatable to you?
I do not know these Klingons. What are Klingons? What is it?
Klingon is another race of people.
It's a separate species?
Absolutely.
It's a separate species, often referred to from Star Trek.
However, we can breed with them.
Now,
you converted them? What?
Is Clark still with us? I think we've lost Clark.
I have felt him cutting the deck, however, and I have pulled the proper cards.
And that might explain why he didn't respond. So, let's carry on with the reading there, Aurora.
Well, in his far past, I drew the Three of Swords, which is an incredibly sad card. It has three swords plunged into a heart, which indicates his past has dealt with huge heartbreak, perhaps separation from loved ones. And there are clouds in the background which indicate raining.
So perhaps it was raining.
At the time, yes. And then his recent past card shows him... Now, this is very interesting. It's the Eight of Pentacles, which is the card that shows someone working diligently but mindlessly. And I believe this indicates his time at the, which newspaper?
The Daily Planet.
The Daily Planet.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, his face is serene, but not content, which shows that perhaps being laid off is the spiritually right thing for him, as he is not using his mind, he is only using his arms and his body.
While Aurora is carrying on with the reading, why don't we throw that number out there again? If anyone would like to call in, the number is 617-253-8810. And as always, we have two lines open for communication with those who are physically unable to join us, but who are nevertheless with us spiritually, telepathically, psychedelically.
And we would always encourage people to say the unsayable, to speak the unspeakable, to attempt to interrogate us and inquire and comment.
Precisely, as the old saying goes, we have developed the philosophy which can answer all questions. That is the sound you will never hear when you call.
I wonder if I could receive a reading through the glass, if that is permissible, Aurora.
Of course.
Like I said, I'm very unfamiliar with this system of prediction. I'm curious about it. Is it based in the social sciences?
Well, it is a mixture of things. Obviously, the mind is more aware than we can possibly understand of its surroundings. So, in part, in my particular belief, it is not the cards that are reading anything in particular. They are merely a tool which we use in order to delve into the self, into the subconscious and into the chaotic nature of the universe in order to see things which we otherwise could not have seen.
I see, so it's a system of significations, perhaps.
Yes, that is a large part of it.
So what must I do to be read, one of the read?
I would first love to know what, if there is anything in particular which is troubling your mind.
Lately, I have been highly troubled by some of the writings of Feuerbach. They seem fragmented and incomplete, as if he just fell asleep while writing a sentence. The line just sort of ends like a smear. And I'm curious what is at the end of that line.
Okay. And perhaps I can give some understanding as to what was happening with him as well. If you would like.
I'm not sure if he even exists as a real human. I'm curious more about what he's left behind, these traces that we incorporate into thinking now. I mean, I could write anything in the end of that line, but I don't know what to write.
And how does it begin?
Oh, I don't have these documents with me, so I would have to paraphrase. He writes that a man is alienated from his very self. This has a purely negative connotation. That this highly special language that he uses about alienation, Entfremdung is the word in German, that it would refer not to the externalization of an idea into nature, but that it's being actually cut off from nature entirely.
Well, as the reading carries on, why don't we bring another voice in to share it with us? Caller, welcome to the air.
Hello.
Marhaban.
Hello.
It's welcome.
Hello, yes. This is Gustav.
Welcome, Gustav.
Thank you. I just have a very simple question. Is this a physical discussion, the male lactation question, or a metaphysical discussion?
It is both, really. The physical and metaphysical touch upon one another in ways that we cannot even imagine.
Yes, I think we're trying to get beyond this kind of
separation.
Thank you. Of the I was thinking it's like to cut these in two is to ignore half of what is what it's to impose a false dichotomy.
Well, yes, but sometimes all I have left is my imagination.
Caller, what did you get from it? What did you get from our conversation? Did you get the physical or the metaphysical?
Metaphysical. Definitely metaphysical.
And how did that affect you?
Oh, dear. It's a rather personal question.
Now, caller, there is no judgment here.
Well, it's very emotional for me. Very difficult.
Well, caller, I think it may be a good point where you could let the flesh instruct the mind, which seems to have been something I've said several times today, but focusing on the metaphysical can be bad for you physically and also emotionally. I mean, you may notice your fingernails beginning to become brittle and yourself becoming somewhat cynical from always focusing on the abstract in that way.
Caller, may I just interject here, and perhaps this is a false reading due to the earlier question that was still swimming in my mind, but I sense some poverty in your past, some extreme poverty with which you were unable to nourish yourself and loved ones. Perhaps not just in some physical sense. Does this have any bearing in your past?
Caller? Caller? I think we may have experienced the poverty of the caller. The poverty of the wave.
Perhaps he's overcome.
I think that perhaps what was underlying the surface here is this question of femininity.
Mm-hmm.
We've been talking about lactation as if it is a mechanical process when it is actually the soul or the actual juice of femininity.
Mm-hmm. The tea of femininity.
Although there are many different flavors of tea. You have the afterbirth.
And I think that that in my experience there are many flavors of breast milk also.
But actually additional fluids that also are generally only associated with the female body, the female form, or in contrast with the male body and the male form.
Well, there are many drinks.
Well, yes, that's very true, but we keep bringing this to a male and female discussion.
Mm-hmm.
It's not one at all, as Jared Diamond so eloquently brought it to my attention. It is a power that we all hold within us, so perhaps we're just a bit disgusted by our own taste, or we love our own taste of milk.
It might be that gender, in fact, is a continuum.
Creo que con las personas who come and see me all the time, when you're on the emotional plane anyway, and in the spiritual plane, you're all the same.
Dr. Van Kuchen,
yes.
You asked me a question earlier, yes?
I did.
And I've drawn the cards for you.
And before you carry on with the reading, let's bring in another voice. Caller, marhaban.
So you're saying I could lactate physically if I'm a male?
You absolutely can.
I thought it was a metaphysical discussion.
No. It's very, very physically possible for a male.
Can you give me some tips?
I think we can begin with tofu and other soy products. George had mentioned this earlier.
Yes.
And before, instead of trying to start immediately with lactation, there are certain hormonal changes, steps, smaller steps leading up to that. For example, to try to get your skin to feel softer and not as rough. If you can achieve that, that is a first step towards achieving lactation.
As well as your soul, actually.
Mm.
It's very important to soften the soul before.
To moisturize your soul.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
To ask yourself, what's holding this milk inside you? Because it's there. It's holed up in your cells, and it needs to be excreted into ducts and then out.
through the nipple.
Yeah, and an important point there is, you know, we're not talking about your, you know, necessarily your physical skin. You know, rub the lotion on your skin, and also rub the lotion on your soul. And I think that any power in the universe will respond favorably by milking your soul and also your breasts. Yes, Aurora, please, the tarot reading.
No, in my travels, I would just like to mention that I did meet certain tribes which would give a natural oral supplement in order to aid in lactation, not only in men but in women who were having difficulties feeding their children.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, I was not given the recipe as it was a tribal secret. But it is possible. I've seen it with my eyes.
Do they have YouTube videos? I'm going to check on YouTube. Male lactation.
Well,
crazy stuff you guys got going on.
Aurora, unfortunately, we're running tight on time.
Perhaps this reading is best done in private anyway.
Yes, perhaps.
On a spiritual plane.
Could you draw one card to perhaps tell whether the reading should be done later or right away?
Yes, it perhaps should be done later, as I've drawn the Queen of Cups and she is rather angry.
Oh.
Please do not kill me, Doctor.
I would not do so.
And, Robert, are you still with us?
Yeah.
And have you ever experienced, obviously you have not experienced lactation personally, but you know, have you ever stopped going to the gym and noticed your skin becoming soft?
I don't know. I don't really think too much about my skin being soft. I mean, like, I don't think my hands are soft as girl hands, or the nice girl hands, anyways. But I got callousy hands. I'm kind of proud of those. Oh, shoot.
You have...
Don't shoot my own horn.
You have calluses.
Yeah, all sorts of them.
Caller, I hope you do not have calluses on your soul, because this lactation process is going to be very, very difficult for you.
Well, I would say that calluses can aid on the soul.
I got them on my feet.
Well, Robert.
Calluses are simply experience.
Robert, as always, it was a pleasure to have you, but unfortunately, we're out of time.
Yeah, good show, guys.
Well, it's.
Thanks a lot for.
It's only made better by having you share it with us. And thanks also to my wonderful hosts, Lilith the Sorceress.
Yes, it's always a pleasure, always.
And to George the Mayan Shaman.
Siling Cho.
And to Dr. Pfannkuchen.
Solidarity.
And to Aurora.
Thank you, namaste.
I am Dr. Jalis Sakran, here with Music for Humans. We are New Age Talk Radio with an emphasis on you. We're on every Friday at 7 p.m. Stay tuned for Hidden Gems in Plain Sight here on WMBR 88.1 FM in Cambridge. Ma'a salama.
points for safety.
Number one.
Cars and bikes stop at red lights.
It's against the law for car drivers or bicycle riders to ignore traffic signals.
So don't buzz through red lights. There might be a pedestrian or turning car that doesn't see you coming.
Number two.
Look first before you open your door.
Numerous bicyclists have been injured or even killed by car doors suddenly opening into them.
Look first, and bicyclists, stay out of the door zone.
Number three.
Cross with the signal.
You are safest if you wait for